You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
The dark hills, the highways, the byways. He walks on the billows of life's troubled sea. He walks through the cold, dark night, shadows of dark hills to guide you and me. God walks the dark hills to guide my footsteps. He walks everywhere by night.
Song. Thank you, hon.
You can come over. I'm just taking my time.
You're just taking your time?
Yeah.
Okay. As long as you don't take mine. Turn in your Bibles tonight to 1 Samuel chapter 15. And if you don't have a Bible, we've got somebody that'll bring you one. So if you lift your hand, we'll get you a Bible. 1 Samuel chapter 15. I want to talk to you tonight about something that's taking place in our nation that's causing us a lot of problems. You and I live at an unusual time. America's never been like this before. We're in a situation that we've got more gods than we've got senators. We're into big-time religion and not much Christianity. for the first time in my life, Jesus Christ is mocked openly. Back when I was a kid, and I did things ungodly, and I remember hanging around the ungodly, but the amazing thing about it, they all had a certain fear of God. I can remember they started rodeos with a prayer, and all of the cowboys were the wild group. But when that preacher started praying, they took those hats off. They bowed their head, closed their eyes. I can remember it being about folks just having attention for God and a certain amount of respect for Him that we don't have anymore. And we will just waltz in the presence of God, living like the devil and acting like we're really Christian. I want to talk to you tonight about when praise and worship is worthless. In 1 Samuel, let me give you a little background. Israel wanted a king. Every other nation had a king. They wanted a king. Something about people, that we want to be like other people. Every kid wants to be different, so they all dress alike. They all got baggy pants. You know, they're going to turn their cap to the side. And because they're an individual, and they're just like the 40 standing beside them. You know. But they wanted a king. God said, you won't like it if I give you one. They still wanted a king. We want to be like the other people. We want to be like the other nations. We want a king. So God gave them a king, and he was a perfect king to look at. Bible said he was head and shoulders taller than anybody else. Good looking, handsome guy by the name of Saul. And Saul became the first king of Israel. And God gave Saul some instructions. Samuel was the priest who ordained Saul. That was the man that God told Samuel to ordain. So in chapter 15, verse 1, it says, Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. Now God begins to speak. God said, I remember. You may want to highlight that because he remembers. And we're going to see what he remembers. He said, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. What Amalek had done when they were coming from Egypt, this whole band of who had been slaves to Egypt, all these Jews, he attacked them from the rear. That's where the helpless were. That's where the children were. That's where the crippled were. And Amalek was that type of hurt. He attacked him, and God said, I remember that. I remember what you did to my people. And he said, I remember how you did, when you did it. Now then, here's what he's telling Saul. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have. And I'm going to tell you, this will not pass in any politically correct group. Notice what he said. Destroy all that they have, spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. He said, kill everybody big enough to die. I want them to, I remember what they did. And he said, here's what you do. All right, skip down to verse 8. Because of the time, we're going to have to skip some of this. But we'll hit the important parts. So Saul, in verse 8, he takes Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive and utterly destroyed all the people at the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good and would not utterly destroy them, but in everything that was vile and refuse that they destroyed utterly. Stuff that wasn't any good, let's get rid of it. Hey, if it's good, maybe we ought to keep that. God said, I want you to destroy all of it. Well, but sometime God didn't know what he's talking about. I know how to do this. It's my life. I know more about it than God does. So then came the word, verse 10, then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repented me that I set up Saul to be king, for he is turned back from following me. He used to follow God. That's how he got to be king. He's turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. I thought about this. Samuel wasn't thrilled that God was going to beat the hound out of Saul. It grieved him too, because he liked Saul. I want to tell you, when you go against God, you can just get ready for a whipping. I tell you that. And Samuel cried all night long because of what had happened. Now, skip down with me to, let's continue on. I want to leave these in. It said, verse 12, when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and he's gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. And Saul came, and Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, now notice Saul. Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord, I've performed the commandment of the Lord. He talks religiously. He knows words. Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment. Notice, and Samuel said, verse 14, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? If you did it, how come I'm hearing them talking? I guess it's dead animals talking. Isn't that amazing? He said, if you did what God told you to do, why am I hearing them? Why is this? And Saul said, they brought them up from the Amalekites for the people. There's always somebody to blame it on, isn't there? For the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen. Now notice why they spared. They're going to sacrifice them. We're going to do something religious. We decided that what you said, hey, let's don't waste some good sheep and animals. So what we're going to do is we're going to sacrifice them. We're going to do something holy. We're going to do something good with them. As if we can come up with a different thing than God told them to do, and it's better than what God said. Okay? And then Samuel said unto Saul, verse 16, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and did evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, listen to him again. Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalekite, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took the sheep, took the spoil, the sheep and oxen, and the chief of the things which have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice them unto God. Verse 22 and 23 is what I want to talk about. Samuel said, hath the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of the rams. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness, now he's meddling, stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. We live in such a religious world today, and everybody's got a religion, and nobody's obeying. We live like God has died. I'm talking about the so-called Christian group. I'm talking about in our churches. I'm talking about things that are going on among those that claim the name of Christ. We don't have any real old-fashioned dedication. Everything is just fine. It's all right to shack up and shoot up and spout off. It's all right to do these things. Everybody does them. It's all right. It's okay. We'd still do that. We will come in our churches come Sunday morning. And people have sat there, been living like the devil all week long and won't have one burden about what's going on. Hey, we're good businessmen when we can beat you out of something. Hey, we're lying and stealing and doing all these things, and we're saying we're praising the Lord. Here's what I'm doing, man. Saul said, look at me. You need three things we need to do, and I want to talk about just quickly. But one of them, you need to look like a Christian, you need to talk like a Christian, you need to walk like a Christian. If you're a Christian. Now, if you're not a Christian, go ahead and just show off. But you know what? Most of the time, you can't tell the Christian without a program. Can't do it. Our Christian kids look like all the other kids. We'll send them to play. We just got through with a croc in the desert. And I'm going to tell you, if spiked hair, tattoos, metal deals, I remember one time, and I forget who it was, but I learned this from Craig, so I'll blame this on him because I got to use it on one of my grandkids. He had that metal hook through his nose. I said, your nail gun get away from you? We go out here, and let me tell you something. The Bible said, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22, said, abstain from all appearance of evil. For somehow we think it's all right to look like a hooker. We just are not a hooker. It's all right to look like a drug addict. We're just not one. It's all right to look like a crackhead. We're just not one. He said, all appearance of evil. If it looks like it, don't do it. And guess what? They've changed that word in every other Bible that they've come out with. They don't want that word. We want to get away from that. See, we don't want anything about sin. We don't want anything about repentance. We don't want anything about conviction. We don't want any tears. We're going to laugh and have a great time while folks are going to hell. I'm ashamed of myself for not getting madder about some of this stuff. Bible said, be angry and sin not. It's good to get angry about some things. When we see what's going on. Saul said, oh, look, hey, we're going to sacrifice that stuff. We're religious. We're doing good. We're going to praise and worship. Until sin is taken care of, there's not going to be any praise and worship. I can guarantee you that. When you walked into the tabernacle, the temple, the first place you came to was an altar where they shed the blood for the sin of the people. You didn't get to the incense and the showbread and all of those other beautiful things in the temple until you got the sin question covered. And you're not going to come into God's presence. I'm not even. Nobody can. We got to face this thing of sin. And confess sin. You say, well, why do you think the croc in the desert was wrong? Well, because every liberal church in town went out there. Now, Bible said, come out from among them. Be ye separate. He said, I don't want any unequal yokes. Step aside. You're different. We don't want to be different. See, that was Israel's problem. We want a king like everybody else. God said, I want you different. All through this Bible, separation comes out. You step out of it. You get away from it. We talk about this every week in our classes. You can't hang around with drug addicts and not use. You can't hang around with drunks and not drink. You can't do that. I don't care how much willpower you got. I had a fight with my second wife about a lot of things. We both went out to clubs. She drank, I guzzled. But I decided to show her. We had a lot of fights over that. And for 365 days, I drank coffee. We did not change our lifestyle. We went out to clubs 3 to 5 nights a week. I did not have a cold beer. I did not have a glass of wine with dinner. Alcohol did not pass my lips 365 days. On the 366th night, we were out. I announced my victory, and we celebrated. You know how we celebrated? I'll have one with you. And you know what I learned? You don't start over. You just pick up where you left off. And we're back fighting. Listen, we're living. And if you want to run your life, I hate that, but that's your business. But you got some folks watching you. There's some kids. There's some little ones that you are going to make their future. Is it going to be in hell or is it going to be in heaven? Let me tell you, God Almighty is serious. This is not a game with Him. He's not playing church. He's not playing religion. When He called, the first thing He told Saul to do as His king, and He said, I want you to go over there and kill everybody in that group. I want them out of here. This is what I'm telling you to do. You say, I don't believe my God would do that. Then, well, you don't have the God of the Bible. And I'm going to tell you what, if He wasn't that kind of God, you wouldn't get to go to heaven anyway, because He sent His Son to die for you and I. He let Him die for us so you and I could get to heaven. That's the kind of God He is. He loves you enough to let you get there. He'd give His Son. I got 3 sons. I wouldn't give one of them for you. I wouldn't give one son for another one. We have no conviction. We have no burden for sinners. We have no repentance. Look at Psalms. Come with me to the book of Psalms. That great book of Psalms, chapter 51, verse 17. You want to know what the sacrifices of God are? Here they are. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, Thou wilt not despise. How long has it been since you cared enough for somebody's soul to shed a tear over them? How long has it been since you cared enough for somebody to talk to them about their life? About what's going on with them? How long has it been since you and God have really gotten close together? You know what it is most of the time? It's when something has happened in our life that's broken our heart. We're in a warfare if you're God's child. Ephesians 6 has put on the whole armor of God. It's not for a parade. I played the game of ball, football. I suited up 12 years of my life and put a headgear on. And I've been beat, and we won a few. But I never saw the cheering squad beat anybody. I never saw the talkers win a game. See, God wants obedience. He wants us to obey Him. Look at Isaiah chapter 1. And look at verse 11. God said, "To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I'm full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When you come to appear before me, who hath acquired this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons and the Sabbath and the calling of assemblies I cannot away with." Means I'm tired of it. "It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feast, my soul hateth. They are trouble unto me. I'm weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, I'll hide my eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you and make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil." Cease to do evil. He said, "I'm tired of playing." We'll meet people all over standing, and the main thing about it, only 10% of Odessa will meet. And most of that bunch just playing. Nobody's burdened. Nobody's hurt. Nobody's brokenhearted. God help us. God help us. Whatever days I got left, I want to be broken for Jesus Christ. I want to be at the place that when I find out somebody got in trouble, that I don't say they deserved it, but that I feel in my heart, God bless them. God help them. God help them to turn. God help them to think. God help them to get real with you, to give some real thought to reality. Most of our reality shows, you ever think about some of them? Well, boy, you could get killed. No, you're not. They got everything and they got all them cameramen around. Who do you think's filming them? Everything's protected. Everything's pretty well covered. Because we're playing again. We're trying to look like something we aren't. God help us to take the stand we need to stand. To have the courage. I pray I'll just have the guts to say what God wants me to say and do what God wants me to do, and I'll do it whether you like it or not. Pray that I can do that. Because I want you to like me. I want to be popular. I don't want to be unpopular. I don't want folks to be mad at me. I want folks to say, "Man, old Leland, he's really a nice guy. He's a good old Joe." But you know what? I do know that if they're saying that, I'm not serving him very well. I'm not really digging in and being what I ought to be. The only perfect man that the world has ever seen, they killed him. They crucified him. Because that was their way. Jesus said, "Why do you say these things and do not the things that I do? we've always been talkers. We're just not much at doing. I want you to bow your heads. With your heads bowed, your eyes closed, Jesus said in Luke 7:46, "Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say?" You're here tonight, and God has spoken to your heart. The Holy Spirit has touched your heart, and you need to be saved. You realize you're lost. You know that. There's no doubt about that. Would you just slip up your hand and say, "Leland, pray for me. I'm lost." Real quickly. Slip it up. God bless you. I see your hands, sir. Yours and yours. Anyone? Yes, I see your hands. Yes, put them back down after you look. Yes, see yours, son. Anyone else? Real quickly. I see yours. Yeah. I see them. God bless you. We're going to pray in just a moment. Now then, also, some of you here tonight, and you are God's child, but nobody could tell it. There hadn't been enough evidence to convict you of it. You've done like Saul. You've drifted away. And you need to come home tonight. Because there's somebody watching you. You've got a loved one that their future, their eternity may hinge on you. Would you do what God wants you to do? You say, "Leland, you're talking about me. I'm God's child, but I'm a long way from looking like it." Would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up? I see your, yes. Slip them up, hold them up, slip them back down. God bless you. We're going to pray now. Pray with me. Stand to your feet, heads bowed, eyes closed, before we pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, in these next few minutes, have your own way with every heart in here. My heart, the best person that's here tonight's heart, and the worst person that's here tonight's heart. And Father, may we glorify you. Father, may those that lifted their hand and need to be saved step out on the very first cord. May those that are Christians and are not saved hit this altar and pray for others and confess those sins. Our Father, we pray that you take control of this service right now. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Head still bowed, eyes closed, come right on as Charles sings. Say, "I want to trust Christ as my Savior."
Just
come on.
Just as I am,
without one plea. You lifted your hand, now step out. Now's the time to do it. Just take some courage. Just take some guts. But come on. We want you to come.
But that's
come right on.
Your blood.
Johnny.
Was shed for me, and that you bid
me come. The guys get right over here with
to thee,
yeah, Brother Kenny Evans.
O Lamb of God, I come.
Come on, what's God have you to do? Come right on.
Just as I am, and waiting now to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.